So I'm going to ask you to indulge me just a little bit at the top of the sermon today. Do any of you know what ululating is? Have you heard of that, ululating? I'm going to guess that you've heard this sound, but you just didn't know what it was called. It's a sound of greeting that I heard in Uganda whenever we approached a village. It also was part of celebrations and worship, and as I read the text for today, I was immediately transported back in time and remembered what it felt like to hear women ululating their greeting and remembered how happy I felt ululating back and forth with them. We were just back and forth, back and forth. For me, it's a sound of joy and hospitality. So now I'm going to give you a demonstration of ululating. I'm going to cover my microphone, okay? So get ready. That is ululating, okay? So imagine pulling up to have a visit and having that greeting being voiced out to you. And in return, you're sending it back and forth. And to hear that sound in worship, when hymns are being sung, when the pastor makes an especially good point, it's a sound of celebration and worship. I started to wonder about it, and so I started asking around to all the people that I traveled with. They were my fellow co-workers who were Ugandan, and this is how they explained it to me. That in the past, that sound was used to call out to your friends or your family when you would see them off in the distance. Before the days of cars and cell phones, travel and communication were very different. I mean, travel was by foot power, not by the gas pedal, and often visiting meant taking long walks over long distances. You couldn't just call someone on the cell phone and say, "Hey, I'm leaving home. I should be there in about 30 minutes. Can I pick anything up for you from the baby Walmart?" That was not an option. Travel would take days instead of minutes. So when the host or hostess would see their visitors off in the distance, they would ululate to them to encourage them that their trip was nearly over and that I am waiting for you to arrive. It was a way of encouraging people to continue their long journey and saying, "I know that you're tired, but just continue and know that I'm here waiting to celebrate your arrival. We'll sit together, we'll visit together, and you can rest here in this place. But first, you must keep going." And then the travelers would ululate in response to say, "Thank you for the encouragement. We'll be there soon and will gratefully receive your hospitality." It's just a sound of joy and celebration and thanksgiving. And once I knew that, I thought to myself, no wonder this is so much a part of worship. Because when you arrive in a place of worship, aren't you there to gather as a community and to be encouraged, to be fed, to celebrate and be grateful, to be humbled by what God does in and through each and every one of us in our daily lives, to join in fellowship and friendship with our community of faith, and to affirm to whom we belong before we are sent back out into the world? That, quite frankly, is not so affirming or joyful or nurturing. It's just an amazing thing. So that is the wonderful memory that I have been sitting with this week as I pondered today's gospel reading. So now let us consider this text that's appointed for today. In the ancient world, an envoy was an authorized representative who traveled to deliver a message on behalf of someone else. These days, now, some of us might send a card or a letter via snail mail, but even that is kind of becoming a thing of the past. Mostly we use technology that enables us to immediately contact someone. We pick up our cell phone, we send an email or maybe an instant message. But the point is that the reality of depending on another human being to hand deliver our messages is completely outside of our experience. So before we can appreciate what Jesus is telling us in this text, we need to understand the very important role that envoys played in Jesus' day. So back then, people did use letters. I mean, we heard from one of the letters of Paul earlier. But there was no postal worker who picked up your letter and delivered it to the intended recipient. There was no system for that. So delivery of messages happened through traveling representatives that would have been authorized to act on behalf of the sender. They carried their letters and they represented the interests of the one they served. The emissary represented this functional presence and bore the full authority of the one who sent them. Communication depended on these trusted representatives. So as we understand that, in the Old Testament, the prophets were understood as God's envoys. They delivered messages and spoke on God's behalf. Matthew extends this role of the envoy for the people he is writing to in his day. The disciples were commissioned to be envoys of Jesus. They represented the full power and presence of Jesus, just as Jesus represents the full presence and power of God. Matthew's audience would have completely understood this. And by extension, Matthew is telling his community, a community that lived two or three generations after Jesus, that they shared this same commission with Jesus' first disciples. They too were envoys for Jesus. So welcome the disciples, you welcome Jesus, you welcome God, the one who sent Jesus, right? While it's natural for those of us who are part of Western culture to put these relationships into a hierarchy, God at the top, then Jesus, then the disciples, and then all those who are welcoming would be at the bottom. In our linear way of thinking, it would follow that the most powerful at the top and the least powerful would be at the bottom. And when it comes to reward, those at the top, the disciples, get the biggest reward, while those at the bottom, those who welcome, get the least reward. But if we remember back to the beginning of chapter 10 in Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives the disciples authority over unclean spirits and the ability to heal people. That's power. Next, he tells them, bring no food, no money, not even any extra clothes. They are to be completely dependent first on God and then on the hospitality of the communities who are receiving them. Powerlessness. This dynamic and tension just does not fit into our neat and tidy understanding of power and reward hierarchies. And then with his final instruction about welcoming, the instruction that we hear today, Jesus completely flattens any hierarchies that we want to impose. Jesus is saying, those who welcome and support prophets or righteous persons receive the same reward as the prophet or the righteous person. The same reward. Now, we tend to think of reward as something that's earned. I mean, how many of us, grandparents or parents, have been in the store and said, if you be good today, you'll get a piece of candy when we check out, right? So our hope is that by dangling that reward, that, you know, you're going to have some luck in getting through the store without having any kind of disruption. But here, the reward Jesus speaks about is more about inheritance. Inheritance is a pure gift. So those who welcome and care for the needs of the little ones, and in this context, little ones is speaking about the disciples. They're brand new at this business. All of us could be considered little ones, new in the faith, still on our journey with God. Anyone who cares for the needs of the little one welcomes and cares for Jesus himself. To receive Jesus is to receive the one who sent him and to become heirs to all that God the Father has to give. When I came back from serving as a missionary, many people commented that they really admired what I had done and that they never could have gone. They wouldn't be able to walk away from their work or their families or their jobs, their homes. But I admired them. The reality is, when when they answered God's call to pray, to invite, to welcome, to facilitate, and to offer support of all kinds, they enabled me to be sent. So I always think I have the privilege of representing everyone who has helped me to get to that place. All on equal terms. Each of us is a unique part of the body of Christ. We have different gifts, abilities, we have different expertise, and each of us is an integral part in continuing Jesus' work of proclaiming the good news of God's love for the world with our words and actions. Each one of us offers those gifts and faith. When we do that, we are serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's break this down into an example. Some of us might be called to manage the food bank. Some of us are called to volunteer at the food bank. Some of us are called to provide financial support, and some of us are called to donate a box of mac and cheese. The point is that those in need of feeding depend on each and every person responding to the nudge of the Holy Spirit to support that specific ministry. And our calls are not static. Maybe you start out donating the box of mac and cheese and later become a volunteer, or vice versa. In each of these roles, we represent the presence and the power of Jesus, just as Jesus represented the presence and power of God. When we allow ourselves to be involved in God's life in the world, amazing things happen. Genuine discipleship is a way of living, and it is found in the everyday, ordinary, mundane parts of our lives. Every minute, Jesus is inviting us to be co-workers and co-creators with God. Our smallest acts of kindness done in faith make a difference beyond what we see. Maybe it's smiling at someone that you don't know instead of ignoring them. Maybe it's offering someone a hand, loading their groceries in the car. Maybe it's just being present when there's someone who needs to just cry over their grief and to just offer your presence. Acts of kindness and generosity done in the name of Christ ripple out, and they're all gathered up into God's work to bless and save this world. So today, as we gather in this faith community in friendship, find nourishment in the Word of God. Celebrate the reward of unconditional love and grace revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Be humbled and offer thanksgiving for what God does in and through each and every one of us in our daily, ordinary lives. Remember that you are a child of God. Your primary identity is as a child of God. So when you leave here today, remember that you are sent with God's blessing so that you can be a blessing. Jesus showed us how to bless other people through his words and actions, and the Holy Spirit empowers us with the gift of faith so that we, as the collective body of Christ, can share God's love with the world.